given that it's a very important day that we recognize in the birth of Christ. And I hope today it's going to be a little bit different. So I want to share a little something that I kind of learned along the way that I'm still learning. And hopefully maybe you guys can take it and move forward with it. Let us pray so that the Lord can guide us today. Father in heaven, we want to thank you once more for all that you do for us. Really, we thank you especially for the awesome gift in Christ. Thank you for loving us unconditionally and giving us Christ, even though the world may have not been prepared for it. At this moment, we ask you to allow us to prepare our hearts to receive your message, and above all, to be able to not just receive it, but also share it with others. We love you, we thank you, and we ask you for guidance in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I titled this sermon, Tell It to the World for a Particular Reason. When I was in the university, finishing my last theology class, we had to study so much for this final exam. I mean, we studied and studied. I mean, so many different. You could lower it a little bit, probably. We had to study and study so many different, I guess you can say, material on what theology is and the effects of theology and all this other stuff. But and it's funny because our professor gives us an outline of what we have to study, right? For all those that have been in school. Gives us an outline, pretty much, this is what you need to study. And so we made cards, we made groups, we got together and we studied, what do you think he's going to have on there? What do you think he's going to have on there? And we just tried to pick him out, you know, kind of study our own professor to figure out what is he going to have on this final exam. And the funny thing is that once we were about to take the final exam, we all show up, and I thought it was hilarious. He's like, all right, guys, so the final exam is only one question. And we just, like, we were, what? So there's only one question. And he writes this question on the board. And he says, this is the question. He says, if someone was to ask you, what does the gospel mean to you? What would you say? And we're like, what? And so we had 2 hours to answer this question because that's how long the exam was for. But it wasn't going to take us 2 hours, or at least we thought it shouldn't take us 2 hours. Well, I'll let you know that this servant here took the whole 2 hours to answer this question because we wanted to get it right. We're thinking that this has to be, you know, something that he came up with and that he's expecting this long paper, you know, 10-page paper on what does the gospel mean to you if someone was to ask you. The reality is that at the end of the whole thing, he comes back after the 2 hours and he's cracking up. He's like laughing at us and everything because he sees our worried face and all that. And he's like, guys, this is your final exam and I'm happy that you guys wrote down what the gospel really means to you. But in reality, it shouldn't have taken you 2 hours to explain what the gospel really means to you. And in the real world out there, you might only have 30 seconds or maybe a minute the most to explain to someone what the gospel really means to you. And it's funny because I had a friend here that asked me that question not too long ago that they've also have been asked that question. And as I come to put Christmas and everything that we celebrate that has to do with Christmas together and also, you know, pretty soon we'll be also celebrating Easter and all that stuff. I just come to think one word when it comes to Christmas and when it comes to Easter and these holidays that we actually get to share with the world, even though they may be somewhere else and other thoughts and other, you know, and the whole festivity part of it, is do I have something to tell the world? Do I have my gospel to share? Do I have that? Do I practice that? Do I understand it? Do I live it out? And so as I was looking, this week into the verses, I actually was very intrigued by John. Because out of all the Gospels, John is the only, well, besides the other one, but as far as the Gospel is concerned, out of the three, John really doesn't, he doesn't want to look like everyone else. He wants his Gospel to be different. As a matter of fact, his Gospel is a little more personable. He took it to heart. He made it his in some way. And I was very intrigued by that because when he first starts, he says, I don't want just to give the genealogy of Christ. I get that. Matthew got that covered, you know, and so did Mark. And so they all got that covered. Luke, I think it is. Luke. They all got that covered. So I want to give something a little more deeper. I want to say that, yes, Jesus was here on this earth, but it's more than just Jesus being here on this earth. It has to come in a greater scale. And so for him, I'm pretty sure he, referencing the Torah, looking back from the beginning, he starts with the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what, people? Was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And so he starts to kind of dabble in what we call is, he uses this very artistic flow of thought. A lot of musicians may also, if you ever hear a symphony, for someone that is not used to a symphony or listening to that type of music from a symphony, I don't know if you've ever seen where there you notice that in the whole symphony, while it's playing, it has this beautiful melody and everything like that, all of a sudden you have a break, and it's just like this artistic moment in which the musician or whoever it is that's conducting it throws in a surprise within the symphony itself, and it just like it just catches you for the moment. It takes your breath away. And how he was able to, or they were able to, just at that precise moment just lift you up out of your seat. And so this is one of those lift you up out of your seats moments. Because he's not saying that he has a genealogy, this is where he married came, or this is where his father Joseph came. They're all from the lineage of David. He's not saying that. He's saying that the Lord Jesus was in the beginning. And so he was there before anything was made. He was there beforehand. And then by him saying that he was the Word, and the Word was with God, and then he uses this phrase, he goes, the Word was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made. I mean, he's basically saying, listen guys, listen folks, he is God. And for them, and for the Jews, and for whoever reads this, this is a shock. It's not that Jesus is just a man, it's that he is God incarnate. God himself was there with John. God himself was there with the disciples. And so he's bringing this about. And then he continues on. He says, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. Of all mankind. And so here in verse 5, he illustrates a situation, a problem that arises from this thought of knowing who Jesus is. He is God in the beginning. He's the Alpha, but also he is light. And so here in verse 5, he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so he goes on to say that basically from here, it's like the light came and like nothing, no one was able to really see it. There was a problem. No one was able to see it. And so I was, this week, as I was just trying to think about I had a little situation. I took my second vaccine from COVID, and I knew it was going to happen because it's just, my immune system is not as strong as my wife's or my son's. And I ended up getting sick again. I took the first one, I got sick, and the second one, I got sick again. And I was just like, Lord, I was like, I hate this. This sucks. This is horrible. I'm sweating, cold chills, the whole nine, achiness. But as I was lying there in bed, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, Lord, This is crazy because I knew that this was going to happen. I knew that even though I was going to take this vaccine, that this is how my body works. Always has. Flu, all those vaccines that they give us, always happens. And so I'm like, it's crazy how sometimes we can try to be prepared for something, but what happens? At the end of the day, we're really not prepared for that something. We don't really know what its totality, how it's going to, like, even though I felt a lot of the same things, it was different this time because I knew what was coming. Back then, they didn't know what was coming. They knew something was coming, but they didn't really know what was coming. They didn't have the whole light upon them, in front of them, the way that they thought it was supposed to be. And so I was thinking, I was like, Lord, you know, the gospel is so important to us. The gospel is so important to us. And in Matthew 10:32, if we go to our Bibles in Matthew 10:32, there's something there that really stuck with me that Jesus had said. Matthew 10:32. And he says the following, for those that are following along. He says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge them before my Father in heaven. Amen. Let me read that again. It says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And as I was thinking about this while I was in bed and trying to get all this together, and as I was thinking about this, I was like, Lord, this time, this season, you know, as we're celebrating and as we're enjoying our time with family, because it is very important. God wants us to enjoy time with family. What is it that you want us to really, really do? What is it that you really are calling us to do? As we're about to start this, embark this new year, what is it that you're calling your church? What is it that you're calling this servant to do? And I really think it is acknowledgement. There was other words that they were utilized there, but acknowledgement is not only just saying, oh yeah, I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. That is not all that he's saying. He's saying if we confess, there's another word, other New King James Version says, if we confess it, which is totally different to a certain extent. It is, Steve's not here today, but he's been kind of using the thank yous up here to give thanks to everyone. It's intentional, right? One thing is you say, hey, that's a good thing. Thanks for that. But another thing is being intentional, going to the person and saying thanks, right? And so in the same way, Jesus is saying we have to be intentional about our confession, about the knowledge that we have, the light that we have about Jesus. And so how can we, with everything that's happening in this world, when we're sick, when we're broke, when we're going through some tough situations in our lives, how is it that we can confess it to Jesus or confess it to the world about Jesus? In the Greek term gospel, el angelion, I don't know if I pronounced that right, is derived from angelos, which means messenger, okay? And so the eel in front of it means good. And so when you combine these two parts of these words together, well, the term is el angelion, thus carries the foundation of basically, which means good news. We all have good news. We all love good news, right? Usually when they tell us, hey, tell me the good news, tell me the bad news, we really, really want to say, just give us the good news and forget about the bad news, right? It's kind of like what we want. It's what we desire. It is an action. And so the good news is that the light has reached the world. Today we celebrate that. It's funny how Sabbath today is Christmas. It's the first Christmas I think I remember that. I don't remember when was the last Christmas that landed on Sabbath. But it's funny how it landed today. And I was just like, wow, that is pretty awesome for all the babies that were born today. You know, to have your birthday be Christmas. And if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, where Sabbath also falls upon Shabbat, peace, right? Peace be with you. And so it is an awesome day. It is good news that the Lord had come to this world, a world that is full of despair. Do you think that there was really a difference? And this is another thing that John was trying to indicate by these words. Do you think that there was really a difference between when the world first started, where it says in Genesis 1 and on, it says that the world was what? Was full of green, lavish, and it was beautiful and all. Did it say that in the beginning in Genesis 1? Or does it say that the world was void, it was dark, it was empty, it was without form? And when we look at the world today, or let's go to John's day, was the world in the same way? Was it not also dark in darkness spiritually, right? Wasn't it in void as well? It was missing something. The Jews were missing their Messiah. The Romans, even though they were conquering, you know, the world that they lived in was a pagan world. And here comes the light of the world. The same way, I believe that even through these times that we're living in, with the whole COVID mess, it seems as though for 1 minute we get out and then we're in it. I had spoke to my wife last night and she was so sad. She went over to Puerto Rico to celebrate with her parents the 45th anniversary for, you know, them being married and stuff like that. And unfortunately, I'm like, baby, what's wrong? And she's like, well, I don't know what happened. My parents got COVID. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, baby. You know, it just like her whole light just went away because her purpose was to celebrate this day for them. She went over there to fly for over there. And I said, don't worry about that, baby. See, the Lord still works in mysterious ways, because if you weren't there, who's going to take care of them, right? Over there, if you think COVID is bad over here, how the pandemic and it's scaring everybody, over there is 10 times worse. Everything's about COVID. And so she's like, yeah, I don't know what to do. And I said, nothing. You could still have a party with them. but that's the world that we're living in. It's just like, you know, you're trying to celebrate, you're trying to be happy, you're trying to be with your family, and then a tragedy happens. Something messes up this whole happiness. My friends, as long as we live in this world, that's just the way it's going to be. There's no true happiness here in the world, only if you have the good news in your heart. That's the only thing that makes the difference. It's the only thing that can give you genuine happiness. Is not that so? When I think about, you know, telling it to the world, it's because that's the only thing I can think about that can bring me happiness. In all honesty, that's the only reason I do what I do. Because I'm like, this is the only thing that brings me happiness. The only reason that I decided to, you know, to remain in church in my moments of darkness. Every single Christmas, I remember something always bad happened. And so I didn't even want to know about Thanksgiving, not Christmas, no celebration. These were like the most depressing moments in my life. But it wasn't until I really fully understood the good news in my life for me, what it meant to me, what the good news meant to me. So yes, what is the good news? It is about whom? Who is the good news about? It's about whom? About Jesus. It's about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? And there's a fourth element. And that fourth element is that he is returning for you and me, for all those who believeth shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And so I can't miss out on this good news, but then I can't also just keep it to myself and put it in my inside pocket or my back pocket or put it in my laptop or in my pictures. No, I have to share this with the world. I love it because this week I saw these a lot in the garbage. I don't know if, did any of you guys receive this? Nobody? Really? Nobody? Nobody? No? It was a card like this? Nobody received it? Okay. Well, maybe it was for the people in Pateros. I don't know. Because I saw a whole bunch of them in the garbage. Okay. Now, I don't know who sent this. I don't know who sent this, but it's beautiful. It says, he is no longer a baby in a manger, but a risen king. The greatest Christmas gift is his life for you, with an offer for a new life in God's security. May God continuously pour this gift of amazing grace on you this Christmas season. Merry Christmas. And then it has a picture, of course, of Jesus. And then it has a little, kind of like a little background. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but at the end, I thought it was maybe somebody that was at Venice, but probably not. But at the end, he uses Revelation 21:4-5 to say, and God will wipe away what? Every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have what? have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. And I thought that this was pretty cool. You know, it gives a little bit of the history and the repentance and how God gave life. You know, God came personally here to take care of business for us and be Emmanuel, God with us. And I was like, wow, I was very impressed by this. I think I was very impressed because at the moment that I was in my car, I think I was a little bit down. I was a little bit down on some things. And when I came to read this, I was like, why do I have to be down? Why do I have to be down? I said, I have to share the gospel news. And I made it an initiative to whoever I met, I would say, God bless you. And I'll say, Merry Christmas. And I'll smile. And I'm just like, there's something in me that was just like burning to for that person to just come out and say, I need to know more about Jesus. Last week, I was telling the board that I had the opportunity to actually meet an individual. I was heading to church, and then I saw this individual that they were outside, and they were carrying all their cleaning material and stuff like that. I guess she cleans houses and stuff. And so I stopped. I was like, wow, it's cold. It's freezing. What she's doing? Or maybe her car broke down. Anyways, long story short, you know, I've been in contact with her this whole week. I wasn't able to go fix her car. Something happened and whatever. But last night she texted me. She's like, oh, Pastor, you know, this is what's happening, yada, yada, yada. And then she says, but you know what? It's okay. Merry Christmas. And I said, wow. She said, it's okay. Merry Christmas. That little bit of Merry Christmas, even though we can look at it in so many different ways, but to me was like she still had hope. And that through my little bit of love that God has given me, that I can give to her, she's felt that. She felt that ray of hope. And that's what people need today in this world, that ray of hope. In the moments of despair, they need that ray of hope. You know, as I spoke to my wife last night, I felt bad because I know that she wasn't calling me and it was very late, but I had to call her. I was like, let me just call her and see what's going on. I just felt it. And when I called and she gave me the little sad news about her parents and all that, I said, baby, don't worry about it. You're over there. Enjoy yourself. You know, stay with your parents. This is when they need you the most. You know, God knows. And I just want to leave you with, in this case, with Tell It to the World. I want to leave you with this video. I don't want to prolong today's sermon, but I want to leave you with this video. I don't know if we can. I want to leave you with this video that I saw that I think it really kind of shows us that God is how he reaches out to us. So hopefully you like it. So I don't know if this Christmas you were seeking something else, maybe that gift or whatever that someone promised you or something like that. Sorry, Joe Meyer, I didn't get you the iPods, okay? But the gospel is a gift that, number one, is free. And it could be given in so many different ways. Each one of you have your own personal story. This gospel is unique in its own way. Like Eric's gospel is a little bit different from my gospel, but it has the same essence. It has the same principle behind it. But where God found me in the moment of despair, where God was able to reach out to me, my loneliness, my struggle with finding myself, you know, in that particular moment, the gospel reached to me. Maybe your gospel reached to you where you were rejected and he found you. Maybe your gospel reached to where you were sick and he healed you. Amen. And Becky's here today with us. Please do not forget to wave to Becky. And so we all have an opportunity to share it with the world and tell the world of our gospel. It doesn't have to be a 2-hour written thing. It could just be 30 seconds, but just think about it this week as we move forward to the new year. What is your gospel? And for us to live that out, but also to share it with others and to find that oomph that will drive, that force that drives you through, it isn't the one that you seek. It is in God. The closer and the more we look for God, the more that gospel becomes alive. The more I want to share it with other people as well. If you find yourself in a rut where you just don't know what it is, start with that. Where was it that God found me? Where was it that when I was seeking something, he found me and he reached out to me and he saved me? He pulled me out of that mud. He pulled me out of that hole. He pulled me out of that drowning, moment of drowning or that moment of despair. He pulled me out of that. And then what happened? Because the gospel doesn't stay there. The gospel transforms. Right? The gospel changes. I mean, I look at Arson, and he's here with us because the gospel changed him. And I heard some things also about Joel over here, and I heard some things about a lot of people around here. The gospel changes, my friends. If you guys knew where I covered, you would definitely say the gospel changes. It's the most amazing gift that God has given us. Don't waste it. Don't just share it for yourself. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it and tell it to the world. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity, the unworthiness, but we thank you for the opportunity to be able to share the gospel truth. And to personalize it like the writers, the inspired writers in the Bible. Father, we thank you for taking us out of wherever we were. And because as we see here and knowing about the gift that you've given us through Christ and where he was born, where he came out of, Nazareth, does anything good come out of there? We can also identify with that saying. Is there any good in me, Father? Well, we know that through Jesus, it is the only thing that's good. And because he lives in us, because he is that light in us, Father, you call us your children and you make us worthy. We thank you so much for that precious gift of Christ. Father, we repent from our sins this year. We know we've fallen short of your glory. Forgive us. Help us to do better, not so that we can glorify ourselves, but that we can make you happy, so that we can finish the work that we have to do here. We have to get closer to you, Father, so that wherever we go, that light can also shine in us to others. Father, I thank you because we've been able to see throughout this year some awesome miracles. But I know that there's more to come. As time continues on to worsen and worsen, we pray, Father, that we get ourselves ready to see miracles happen more and more, to see your power really manifest itself in the people of God. Father, we also ask you for us to have open hearts, open minds, to accepting those that are willing to come to you just as they are. That we may have compassion the way that you have compassion. That we may see the soul and not just the outward appearance. Father, shake up your church. Shake up our hearts and allow us to tell the people the gospel. We love you, we thank you, and we pray for this. In the name of Jesus, amen.